Well, George, you've got what you wished for.
But indeed, you should be careful for what you wish for.
It might come with a sting in the tail, or worse, a valterectomy. And that can be a pain in the ass. After months of debate around Max Verstappen's future at Red Bull, again, George Russell confirmed at the Red Bull Ring today that he'll be driving for Mercedes in 2027, 100%. That should be the end of the matter then, but no. The fine print is where it gets awkward, because on the surface, George did have an option for 2027, and it was related on the matter of performance, and Russell has spoken many, many times that performance should speak for itself. Except that he's 50 points behind Antonelli with only one win this year to Antonelli's 5. Last year, we were all expecting him to be ahead of Antonelli, so that performance clause, it sounded perfectly logical. It seems very much likely that the option for him next year was taken up anyway. Him speaking to the press, for your consideration, thusly. Ahem. It hasn't even been discussed with Toto. We don't need to discuss it. It's not even a question mark. I don't want to go into any more detail. Oh, that's not the voice of a driver celebrating a contract extension, at least in my opinion. To me, here he wants us to stop asking how the sausage got made. What does it mean if your contract renewal is not about the performance that you have undertaken so far a third of the way into 2026? Because for him and Kimi, this year was a very important metric for both of their livelihoods. And what George has been doing right now this year, as well as all of the maladies that have befallen him, it's only made the entire thing more complicated. Now, I spent a good long while pondering the asymmetry in Russell's contract. How the 1 plus 1 gave Wolf a lever he could pull, or leave alone, depending on what happened with Verstappen. Toto, you see, likes options. He's not afraid to exercise them. Kind of like Frank Williams back in the day. And at the time, I thought that regardless, Max would be the beating heart of Russell's story, but no. All Max is right now is smoke and mirrors. What were the terms of this arrangement in taking up this option, and why did they choose to do it now? Well, I mean, of course, Mercedes does not really like to partake in grandstanding major announcements. There's certainly no Ferrari, where they make special promotional videos to promote that Charles Leclerc has extended his contract again. George? It was only an aside in a press conference. It wasn't even a formal release from Mercedes themselves. It was just a case of George going, yeah, there it is, happy, now stop talking about it. Like it was nothing to write home about. Why? Well, I mean, in that regard, we can go back to October last year, which was the point when we finally heard about Russell and Antonelli's contract, that after many more months than expected, we usually hear about contract extensions with Mercedes around the Hungarian Grand Prix. All of last year, what was going on, it was happening while Toto was visibly courting Verstappen, and even Russell said that was happening. And all that did, I think, in a year where Russell really tried to prove himself as best of the rest and the new team leader of Mercedes, was just to publicly embarrass him. It sort of cheapened the achievements that George was able to make last year in finishing fourth in the championship. But regardless, Russell framed the deal as a victory in the Telegraph interview, and he drops this particular line that I want you to hold in your head right next to what he said today. So, here it is for you right now. Him. My seat for 2027 is in my hand, so I'm not being strung along here. We're not going to be in the same position as we were 6 months ago. And his confidence seemingly has not survived the first 7 races, peaking around Barcelona, where he basically just said, I just want neutral luck at this point. I think, really, Russell just wants to be left alone to get on with his season. Because here's the problem with the in my hands framing, because De Limburger, as well as many other publications, mentioned what I mentioned earlier, that it was all down to this 2027 option about George finishing ahead of Kimi by a certain amount of points, a certain spread. Like, do you remember with Checo, he had to finish a certain point spread behind Verstappen or else he would get a pay cut? It's that kind of thing. Those little details can easily crop up in contracts. And even though we don't know the finer details of the Mercedes contract, and we probably will never know, what we could easily glean, and seems perfectly logical, is that anything to do with exercising options would have something to do with a point spread and where a driver is within the championship. So okay, I'll wheel the spanner out for this bit, but I think the numbers are pretty plain. He is, George, 50 points behind Antonelli, and I don't think anybody, including himself, expected that. George said so more plainly right here. There are 50 points between Kimi and I, but if that was the other car in Canada, it would have been 25 less for him, 25 for me. And then it's a completely different picture. And you know what? He is right. Swap that DNF between the two drivers, and there'd be nothing between them. But team orders, frankly, they just do not care about luck. They care about pace on the day. And it's all very well and good for George to go back and think what might have been, had things happened in a different reality.
But the fact is, though, this is the current reality, and we are starting to see rumblings of things happening within Mercedes in the here and now. If Toto sees a 50-point gap and a potential rival from another team closing in, such as Lewis Hamilton, he will know what to do. So where are we at right now? Well, Russell's talking about the future being secure while he's behind the curve, which is quite bizarre in of itself and does very much feel like a bit of a concession. And if you're a Russell fan right now and thinking I'm dogging on him, I'm not doing any of that. George is looking like a shell of his former self after his win around the Australian Grand Prix. And there are just causes to be very concerned about where he is right now with Mercedes and the operational maladies that had befallen him as far back as the Kia 2020. Actually, when you think about it, the public story was pretty tidy. All he had to do, George, was beat Kimi by a certain point spread and he'd be guaranteed a seat. If you miss it, you won't be. And Mercedes made good use of that in terms of their discretion because they didn't talk about it much. In fact, with their release of that press release, it was only for next year, as well as, of course, having leverage. And it starts to make sense when you realise what George is going to be walking into for 2027, especially if things remain where they are in terms of the championship, or even if Lewis does win his 8th world title. If Kimi's still ahead of George by the end of the year, that could have serious ramifications for his future. But will he still be the de facto team leader? Or will he have to fight for it harder than ever? Or maybe not have it at all? And oh yeah, that reported bump in terms of a one-year salary to $30 million a year, as the rumours suggested, if that is accurate, I doubt he'll be able to hold on to that if there are going to be further negotiations. Because after 2027, there is no option for that. They are going to have to go back to the drawing board. This is where Barcelona becomes the reference point. You see, Kimi sat down with Italian media at the Red Bull Ring this week and confirmed that a post-Barcelona meeting did take place with Wolff, and his words were rather plain, and this didn't really get to the realms of the English-speaking world until it got translated to the English version of motorsport.com and from my very pie hole. Ahem. There was a meeting on the matter, and Toto was very clear. If we find ourselves in a situation like Barcelona again, under pressure from our rivals, there will be a team order, especially if one of the two cars is showing better pace. If, on the other hand, we're fighting each other without pressure from another team, we will be free to race, just as we were in Montreal. That does sound pretty balanced, but look here at who's been the faster car. Do not worry. If you are a Russell fan, you are probably going to be screaming to the heavens about what Bradley Lord admitted not long after the Grand Prix, which might have explained why Russell fell off so hard after his pit stop. Indeed, Brad has admitted that a faulty wing angle adjustment at the second pit stop for George meant that he suffered oversteer at the worst possible moment and had very little control and reduced pace. But what that tells me mostly is that, oh great, Mercedes fumbled another Russell-related pit stop again. That alone raises a separate question as to why do Mercedes' operational mistakes around Russell not get scrutinized the same way Ferrari's mistakes do? But despite that admission, many were quick to condemn George anyway, many pointing to the Italian winning many more races than the Brit, as proof enough alone. And on paper, the policy treats both cars the same, yet on track, it keeps pointing at Russell. When the time comes, George seems to be the obvious choice for having to play team orders. If they're not, then everything is good, and then that's the only opportunity George has is to try and claw back some parity. But that threat window is getting smaller every single weekend, especially off of the back of the Barcelona upgrade for Ferrari, unlike in Miami, working like an absolute peach. And now they're coming into the Red Bull Ring with an engine upgrade that could be anything between 7 brake horsepower and 15 brake horsepower, according to various reports. Either way, it's going to offer them at least a tenth or two in terms of lap time from sheer grunt alone. And that is before we get to them optimizing their upgrades from Barcelona, if they can glean another tenth from that, perhaps from just extra studies that they got. And on top of that, their reliability is extremely solid, thanks to them choosing a slightly different compound for their power unit, whereas Mercedes, they are very much watching themselves. On top of the fact that their batteries are looking very precarious, although they are bringing a patch for the Red Bull Ring, which hopefully might fix reliability, they also have to take on the chin the fact the FIA has banned their latest spec of diffuser on the grounds of Ferrari putting in a protest. So that means they have to revert to an older spec, which will cost them lap time. And naturally, they will be probably dialing things back a little bit due to the fact there is an orange heat warning around the Austrian circuit, much like how I believe there is an orange warning up this loft, because oh my god, I am sweating buckets right now. The days of Mercedes racing in a private championship between their own two drivers might already be over, and Wolff knows exactly what Hamilton will do when he senses a title challenge of any kind. So Here's something I want you to carry through to the back half of this video. If Russell's option was always more in Wolff's hands than Russell's, then what was the Verstappen courtship actually for? I do not believe Verstappen is headed toward Mercedes. I stick by that, and now Russell's confirmation has only made me feel even more right in terms of my conviction. And for those of you reckoning that, oh, it's either Mercedes or bust, Verstappen did tell The Telegraph back at the Canadian Grand Prix that he plans to stay in Formula 1 provided the changes for 27 and 28 actually go through. And lo and behold, thanks to the World Motorsport Council, they will be going through. That got ratified the other day. And indeed, he did talk about a sabbatical, Max, and he said that that's just not really his style. He would either be committed or he wouldn't be committed. And that is exactly the same problem Red Bull is experiencing right now for 2027. As a result, I think it's just left the team absolutely paralyzed as to what they're going to do next year. They don't know where they stand. If they did, they can either circle around Max for a second bite at the cherry in 2027, or have to maybe think, well, is it time for maybe giving Liam another go at the top team, and then we can promote Solov next to Lindblad, then we can at least have a good benchmark for when the time comes if Lindblad gets promoted himself? Right now, they can't do that because of Max just deciding to play silly buggers with us all. And what might have complicated things for Verstappen, or may not have bothered him at all because we just cannot understand him at the moment, is that one of the easiest options for him to move, if he was going to move, has now closed its doors for 2027. Russell is staying, and Antonelli, well, I mean, Mercedes would be mad to get rid of him now, and they'd be even madder to not try and lock him in well into the 2030s at this point. Even Fernando's finally committed to the Aston Martin project this week, regardless of whether he's in the F1 car or not. And even if that seat did open, Aston only has a point to their name in 7 races so far, so that's not a car Verstappen would put his name toward. But despite that, McLaren seems to be the only name that keeps surfacing as the Mercedes alternative, if there is one. Given the fact that his race engineer Max's Giampiero Lambiase is already confirmed to be joining them by 2028 at the latest. But hang on, Piastri's contracted through 2028, and Norris, well, I mean, he's McLaren at this point. He is the longest serving driver. His identity is all McLaren. So if Max was wanting to knock on that particular door, that would not budget a single inch. No, Max would have to break that door down with everything he has. And even then, right now, in terms of performance, they are not the best. I mean, they're better than Red Bull at the moment, but they're still behind Ferrari and Mercedes. Now, okay, I'll get the spanner and the foam out for this next bit, because Ralf Schumacher, once again, is on the prowl. So just a little quick disclaimer there if you want to go any further. And I just want to make it very clear in the comments, if you see this, or you see this, there is a caveat to what I am saying. But yeah, Ralf reportedly claimed on the Backstage Boxengasser podcast that Wolff had made Verstappen an offer behind the scenes that was so bad financially that it was completely out of the question. He called it intentional, suggesting Wolff was exploring the market rather than seriously trying to land Verstappen. Max's father Jos then responded on Instagram, calling it wrong information. The specific claim was contested, hence the props I used, but this read, I think, doesn't even need Ralf's claim to hold up anyway. So I ask you at this moment just to please stop thinking as a Max fan or a George fan, and just think about the leverage that Toto might have been able to have gleaned from this particular transaction. All of this hullabaloo kept the terms negotiated with George's management team favourable. Out of all of this, Mercedes have come out on top. They always come out on top. George thought he got out on top for 2026 with that supposed pay rise, but no, he didn't. Not really, because now he's negotiated for next year with his tail between his legs. I think, honestly, he might have actually agreed to the terms of this engagement a little too early. The Brit negotiating under threat because a driver who knows the team has another superstar in mind has less leverage by default than one who remains unmovable. And it maintained Mercedes' positioning as the place any top driver would want to be. The chase had value. Whether or not Max did end up at Mercedes was beside the point because the media just could not stop talking about it. There is always speculation about Max going to Mercedes. It's doing so much brand work for Mercedes in brand awareness and making them the team to go to. For Max, one of the biggest generational talents of the last 10 or 15 years or so, bar Lewis Hamilton. All of this is great publicity for Toto's team. All thanks to the rumour mill. And now we've gotten to a situation where Antonelli has got 5 wins in 7 races. I think the courtship of Verstappen from Wolff's part is now reaching its conclusion. Or maybe it might have already reached its own conclusion. Because Wolff's now got his own Verstappen-level talent racing and winning and leading the championship, costing a fraction of what Verstappen would demand, at least for now. And, oh yeah, Kimi's also somebody who is Mercedes-coded through and through. so much less hassle, and far more willing to do media work. Something of which, according to Carlos Sainz, is a major stipulation in any Verstappen contract that the Dutchman would sign, that he would not have to do as much media work or interviews as the average driver in Formula One. That would be a major stumbling block for any negotiations with Toto, because Toto does like to make good use of his drivers, George very much knowing the name of the game, because he pretty much hawks things from mowing equipment to the best backpack I ever used. And now we're starting to see Kimi and Mercedes car ads. Yeah, I think the flirtations now will cease. And where does that leave Russell after all of the speculation that's been going on for the last 18 months or so? Well, he gets to say, but on not so agreeable terms for him, all of the stuff that probably made his life miserable within Mercedes, that no matter what he did, no matter the performance, there would always be something hanging in the background. And in that case, it would be his arch nemesis. Well, what does Red Bull get out of this? Well, you would think on the surface they'd be relieved, and in a way, they are. The nightmare scenario of losing Max to their biggest rival, who has the fastest car right now, is potentially no longer a thing. But that doesn't fix the thing that is currently eating them right now, and that, again, is down to the fact that Max is being non-committal. You remember that meeting that he had with Red Bull higher-ups at Salzburg? They were there pleading Max to try and commit to some shape or form to 2027, and he was not budging. They probably threw everything but the kitchen sink at him. Maybe buying out his exit clause, for example, or maybe giving him a controlling stake of VCarb. The rumours have been flying off the walls right now in terms of what they were offering Max Verstappen, and any attempt to try and glean anything from the media in asking about what happened at the meeting has been met with him, Max, swatting it away. And even though this is all very well and good in terms of his negotiating power, this will impact all of the staff within Red Bull in terms of what are they going to do for their livelihoods within Motorsport Valley. Are they going to decide to stay at Red Bull if Max is going to stay? Or are they going to decide to maybe look at other options in terms of rival teams nearby? Because the majority of Formula One teams located within 10 miles of one another. And I think Mercedes closing the door on Max is not going to change any of that. Because there's a difference between staying because you're sold on the project and staying because, well, there's no better option. Verstappen is now a smidge over 100 points behind Antonelli, while reports suggest Red Bull are trying to neutralise a clause he may soon have the right to use if he is not within the top two come the Hungarian Grand Prix. What I think Red Bull fears the most is Max just phoning it in until something better comes along, which is why the Red Bull upgrade for Austria is so important. This is their track, their home race, and the people writing the checks, the bigwigs, they're all gonna be there. But this isn't only about Red Bull's headache, but also what Russell's version of staying actually looks like over time. And the span is coming out again because I am drawing from a parallel that I am seeing, a pattern, instead of confirming obvious facts. This is all starting to look a little bit like the arrangement that Valtteri Bottas had while he was at Mercedes. The Finn arriving after Nico Rosberg retired to be a safe pair of hands next to Lewis, who described Valtteri as the best teammate he ever had because, for the most part, he didn't get in his way. He was, Valtteri, given a fair crack initially, but as it became clear that Hamilton was about to go on to a huge surge of dominance, winning 4 world championships in a row, it was going to be a case of Valtteri just hanging in there on a year-by-year basis, which I said at the top of the video, he saw as a pain in the ass. It really got him down. He did not have any leverage within contract negotiations because he was driving the fastest car and he was not fast enough to take it to Lewis in terms of a world title. So where else on the grid could he go where he could lead and win? Now, what I am not saying is that Russell has become Valtteri Bottas as of June 2026, because George is still plenty powerful, especially in qualifying. He was able to get pole and win sprints in recent times, and he has won a Grand Prix. And he is indeed right that there has been huge amounts of misfortune when it comes to procedural issues in pit stops, as well as overall reliability, because it's becoming more plain to see by the day. Mercedes, if there is any undoing in terms of their championship efforts, it's going to come down to reliability and Ferrari being far more consistent than them. And even Toto, when George is absolutely singing, is saying that, oh, he's absolutely fast. The speed is still there. It's like everyone else is standing still. And any other hyperbole the Austrian likes to partake in. But is that enough for George to just delay the inevitable of the structure around his contract changing, especially since Antonelli has kicked on so fast? Because, yeah,
Bottas was plenty fast. He had his great races, such as Austria 2020, Sochi 2017, to name but two of them. He was able to bag 10 wins for the Silver Arrows, but even then, that still didn't change the perception of him being the Mercedes number two. And if George isn't careful, or if Kimi just continues to win race after race and George continues to be behind, he is not going to have that momentum to be able to maintain the idea that he could be Mercedes' team leader. So, right, where do we stand? Well, I think in terms of freedom, Russell and Verstappen kind of have gotten what they wanted, with strings attached though. Russell's free to stay inside a structure increasingly tilting toward Antonelli, whilst Verstappen is free to leave in theory, but the market is making that freedom look smaller by the week. The person who benefits from every piece of that equation is the same person it's been for a decade at Brackley, one Toto Wolff. Maybe this was planned. Maybe he was simply grabbing the moment by the balls, but either way, the Verstappen courtship helped keep Russell's terms favourable, or at least perfectly within his scope. And as for Antonelli's surge this year, it's made the idea of getting Verstappen within the Silver Arrows less necessary or even unnecessary. And then Barcelona gave Wolff just cause to initiate team orders after saying that he was going to allow them to race regardless, even after the Canadian sprint kerfuffle. There is no shadowy plot here because the sporting argument has already been given. You just look to what happened in Spain and it did compromise the team and allowed Hamilton to romp off with it. But either way, George has said the whole thing has been squared away, that there is no need to negotiate it intensely, and he chose to also do it at his arch nemesis home race. The timing was very notable and probably very deliberate. All in the same window where Verstappen's becoming a huge pain in the arse of Red Bull at the moment. And out of all of this, Toto has indeed won the argument, at least in terms of drivers, that he's got Kimi now as his main man for the next few years, at least for the rest of this regulation cycle. And hey, if George can kick on, then great. If he can't, well, he is Mercedes coded and he would make a solid number two. And I think this might be a point where George has accepted a little too early, because there comes a time in every driver's Formula One career where they're not the ones to negotiate the terms of a deal, and it becomes a situation of what they're prepared to accept. If you win a world championship, you can stave that off for a good few years, or even for the entirety of your career, such as with Lando Norris. He's in the pound seat right now. Hamilton, he's also in the pound seat. Alonso, also in the pound seat. Verstappen, he's using his championship leverage to make Red Bull bend over backwards and make them really, really squirm. But Russell, he does not have that. I mean, sure, he might have been able to hold off for a little longer to maybe garner a better deal, especially if Antonelli fell off and maybe Russell got a little closer in the championship or maybe took the championship lead back. But if he chose to be a bit too bold and he got too abrasive, then he might have, George, looked down the barrel of maybe a Bottas-like exit to, I don't know, Alpine maybe. Yeah, you might be thinking I'm mad about suggesting Alpine, but have you seen the amount of pictures that Briatore and Russell have had together? It's certainly something that is very curious. But either way, that's not happening. George is staying at Mercedes, but at what cost? And you sticking around for this video over here will cost you absolutely nothing, and it's certainly worth your time. It is very valuable for you. Let's go and freshen myself up and dunk my sad again in water, and I'll be right with you.